Good afternoon and a wonderful Sunday to you. I hope that you got up this morning with your mind on Jesus. We are happy to have you here today, and we gather together online from around the world to listen to what the Bible says about many different topics to help us live our Christian life. Stay tuned in with us, and let's learn, let's grow together, and let's build a good community, because we all need community to get along together. Now, we're going to move into a little bit of worship song here and give people the opportunity to dial in. You could call in at 657-383-0091, or, of course, you can follow the link that you have followed to listen on your computer or other device. So we're happy to have you. Let's give a couple minutes to prepare our hearts and our minds and worship just a little bit. About the name of Jesus. I'm hoping your heart and mind has been prepared to receive the word from the Lord today. Today we'll be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. You have your Bibles with you? I want you to turn with me to Galatians 5:22-23. Galatians 5:22-23. This will be our key verse for today, and this will be give us our outline for the fruit that we will speak on today. We're going to try to get through this whole thing in an hour and let you get back to your family on this Sunday. Galatians 5:22-23. I'll be reading out of the King James today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc., etc., etc. Now, in doing this Bible study today, we are attempting to share with you things that having the Spirit of God active in full, the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life, these things should be evident in your life. People should know that you have been with God. People should know that you are a Christian because they see the fruit of you having been with God. First, and what I like to call the most important, maybe the most obvious, would be love. You can tell they are Christians by their love. It's a song we used to sing back in the 70s. If you call yourself a Christian and have not love, then the Bible says you lie to yourself and the truth's not in you. How can you love a God who you have not seen and yet not love your neighbor who you have seen? Now notice the title, the fruit of the Spirit. That is singular. Yet we're going to talk about 9 different things today. The fruit, in other words, what comes out of being with the Spirit, what the Spirit produces in your life, the fruit. So turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13:1-7. 1 Corinthians 13:1-7. This is often called the love chapter in the Bible. And if you're reading out of the King James, as I am, in place of the word love, you'll see charity. And that is the same Greek word that is translated into love. Okay, so here we will read this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, remember that the word is the same as love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. And thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Turn with me back to the beginning of the New Testament, to Matthew 5, 43 through 46. Matthew 5, 43 through 46. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? Love. This is how people know that you're a Christian. When you can return love when somebody gives you hatred. See, that's not a human thing. That's a God thing. And that is some proof that you have God in your life, the fullness of the Spirit operating in your life. You know, a lot of people say, and it's Bible, but, you know, it's not to be put as doctrine above other doctrine. You know, have you received the Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues? Well, 1 Corinthians tells us, if I speak with tongues and have not love, that's nothing. So I would rather ask, do you return love for hatred? And the characteristics of this love is a mature love. It's not a, well, I love you until you do something to let me down. It's a, I love you regardless. This is the kind of love that God gives to us, that unconditional love. It's like your earthly children. You don't stop loving them because they disappoint you. You're disappointed, but you still love them. You love them, you correct them, you discipline them, you hold them close, and you do for them as they need done. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Turn in your Bible to Psalms 5:11. And I do hope you're taking notes so you can go back, as always, and read and study and get these verses in context so that you know that I am not feeding you a line of hooey. I am giving you the Bible what it means, the Bible for what it is. Not trying to make my own point. I'm trying to give you the point of the Bible. trying to expose a truth to you which might help you to grow in the Lord and to develop further into your Christian life. Trying to give you the foundations for which to stand when your life is shaken, but you know the word, and the word is hidden in your heart, and you can live it because you have learned it. It's very hard to live a word and to have faith in a word that you have not heard. So Psalms 5:11, back in your Old Testament, around the middle of your Bible, Psalms 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Joy. So fruit of the Spirit. How about Hebrews 10:33-34? Partly whilst ye were made at gazingstock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. And how about James 1:2-3? James 1:2-3. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Joy. Have you ever seen a Christian that is just so downtrodden, and they look like somebody done beat them up with the ugly stick? You know, they always have a scowl on their face. And you just wonder, have you been with Jesus today? Have you fellowshipped with the Lord today? Why are you so down? Let's worship a little bit together. Because when we worship and understand the fullness of God and what he's done for us, we can't help but be joyful. Now, does that mean you won't have, you know, some sad days when certain incidents happen? Yeah, we get a little sad, but in our heart, there's joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. See, if you have the Spirit in you, when you get squeezed and things get a little rough, then the Spirit comes out, and it comes out as joy, comes out as love, comes out as peace. Let's demonstrate our relationship with God, not so much through a bunch of rules, which there are rules, there are commandments. He who loves me keeps my commandments, but let's show it by what comes out of us: love, peace, joy, and several others. Now turn to John 14:26-7. Some of these you just have to write down and try to keep up with me, because, you know, I don't want to keep you all day. I'm trying to get this in. give you something to study, give you something to think about, give you something that might change your life. John 14, 26 and 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How about Colossians 3:15? Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. How about Matthew 10? Matthew 10, 12 through 14. Matthew 10, 12 through 14. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. Folks, we got too many things disturbing us in this day. We have all kinds of things that would eat away at our peace. But I say to you that the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, if you will, has been sent. He has come. He has entered your life. If you have invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, he said not only he, but his Father and the Spirit as well shall come and dwell with you. Now, if the Spirit is live and active in the fullness in your life, you will have peace. Trouble don't last always. You'll have peace in the midst of the storm. Now, I'm not saying your life is going to be all up and up and all rainbows and Skittles, but I'm saying in the midst of trouble, you have the peace of knowing that your God is in control. Your God is at the throne. Your God has the wheel. And any time you feel troubled, any time you feel a little vulnerable, any time you feel like something is stealing your peace, look up and look within yourself and see if you haven't gotten things out of line, if you haven't gotten a little bit of disorder in your life. Set things right. Set things back in a godly order, and peace will return. All right, let's look at patience. Let's look at patience. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And now patience, James 5, 7 through 8. James 5, 7 through 8. Try to keep up with me. Sometimes you just have to write these verses down and listen and absorb and then go back and do your study. Try to stay with me. James 5, 7 through 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. 2 Peter 3:15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord and Savior, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom giveth unto him, has written unto you. Patience, long suffering, patience. We live in such a world right now where we want everything now. We want everything now, now, now. We want people to change now. We want to have what we want to have now. We might be believing for a miracle, believing for change, believing for one thing or another. But if it doesn't come right away, we lose patience. We don't want to wait. We're not long suffering. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Because you can't have patience. You can't have long suffering unless you have God active in your life. Because without His Spirit, you don't know what it is to wait. You get antsy. And you find yourself losing patience with a loved one. You find yourself losing patience with someone who's not even in Christ. You find yourself losing patience with your government. You find yourself losing patience with the unsaved. Ask the Spirit of God to build up the fruit in you. Anything lacking in you, to build it up. Submit yourself unto Him, that He might give you what you need to make it through in these times. Along with patience comes the next one, which is kindness. Kindness. Nothing like an old bitter Christian who is mean to everybody. Bitter. Not kind. Let's go to Jeremiah 9:24. Jeremiah 9:24, back in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 9:24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Loving kindness. If you have the Lord in you, you're going to try to act like the Lord. If you have the Lord in you, you're going to look like Him. If you spend time in worship, you spend time in prayer, you spend time in meditating on the goodness of Jesus, then you can't help but for some of that to rub off on you. You just can't help it, because God is just like that. And as the song goes, and it don't never change. No, it don't change. You can tell they are Christians by their love. And if you have love, you're going to be kind, because that is the way God will have it. That's the way people know that you've been with God. How about 2 Peter 1:5-7? 2 Peter 1:5-7. 2 Peter 1:5-7, and that is going to give us goodness. Goodness. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness, charity. Goodness, just being a good person. Goodness, godliness, godliness, goodness, kindness, charity, which we know is love, patience. See, it's all in this verse is right here, folks. Faith, virtue, knowledge. We need to take all these things together. See, these aren't different fruit. This is fruit. This is what is produced from having a walk with God, a personal relationship with God. Christianity is the only faith group that we enjoy this personal relationship. We get the promise. We get the covenant. It's not if we do and keep all these rules, then at the end, maybe we might be saved. We get the relationship from the beginning, and we grow and we produce all these different traits that is evidence of the relationship, not a payment for the relationship. It's evidence of the relationship. Now, with this goodness, next would be gentleness. 1 Peter 3:14-16. 1 Peter 3:14-16. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, meekness and fear. Let me read that again. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now, a lot of us, we get so full of God that we just want to go beat up everybody. We get too religious. We get too overzealous. We get like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, beating people over the head with the law. Now, as I said before, the law is there, and it's there because we need it. And Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he came to prove the law. So, I'm not saying do away with the law, because I can't say that. That's not in my authority. I'm saying when you teach, when you give your testimony, give it with a little meekness and reverence, not beating on your chest like you're such a lottie-dottie, big-time Christian. But give it in gentleness. When you give a correction, be stern, but be gentle. Be loving. Don't be critical when you're being discerning. Be gentle. Some need a gentle guiding, a soft touch. When we are filled with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God is leading us, then we understand that even when people speak evil of us, we don't go back at them hard, nasty, and ugly. We continue to go living a life of godliness so that in the end there is shame for their attack on us. Talking about the fruit of the Spirit, folks. Talking about evidence that the Spirit of God is active in your life. Now I'm going to take the last two out of order, because I want to end up on faith and faithfulness. So turn over to Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and we're going to touch on self-control. We're going to touch on self-control. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. That's a lot of Bible, but we're going to get it done. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Here we go. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made of bread." But he answered and said unto him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give thee his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Well, Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, folks, this is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in the flesh, showing us how to combat the devil. First of all, he shows us self-control. We know he was anguished. He was hungry. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Folks, this was man. 100% man, 100% God. He was hungry. And Satan finds him at this point and begins to tempt him. Folks, the meaning of the word tempted is that there's a chance that you will fall for it. If there's no chance that you will fall for it, then it's not a temptation to you. Jesus had to use self-control because he knew the promise. He knew the word. He knew God the Father. And how did he combat the devil? First, how did the devil come to him? He came to him with a word that was not scripture. He adulterated the scripture. A lot of faith groups today adulterate the scripture. Our first Bible study, when I was talking about which translations to stay away from, it is because they adulterate the scripture. They do just like the devil did. They use a semblance of the scripture to get you going, and then they make little small changes, just like the devil did here with Jesus. The only problem is, Jesus is the Word. He's the Word incarnate. He knows the Word. That's why the Bible tells us we must hide the Word in our heart so we can please God, so that we won't sin against it. Self-control. The way to have self-control is to be so full of the Spirit, there is not a whole lot of room for yourself. That we live the life of Christ, because Christ is in us, living through us, because we are dead in our trespasses, but alive to Christ. The hope of glory. He lives in us. He lives through us. We are his body. Self-control. See, a lot of us, we want to say, oh, that's my German temper. Oh, well, you know, I'm a Capricorn. And, you know, we Capricorns, we just do things like this. No. I'm talking about self-control. Control yourself. You are responsible for every word that comes out of your mouth. You are responsible for how you react to every situation that comes your way. You are responsible. Jesus was responsible. He demonstrated self-control. He didn't say, well, God knows my heart. Well, yes, God knows his heart. He's God. Knows his heart. Now, why don't you show what your heart is through your actions? Be self-controlled. Because you don't want somebody else to have to come and control you. So you be self-controlled. This is Christian living right here, folks. We want to set Jesus down and, you know, do things our own way for a minute because, you know, I got mad. Well, he said this. Well, she said that. Well, he did this and he did that. And I had to show him. See, that's not demonstrating self-control. And we need to demonstrate a healthy self-control. Now, remember, we don't do these Bible studies to bring condemnation. We do these Bible studies so that we can hold a mirror up to ourselves and we can look at ourselves and let the Lord do his job through the Holy Spirit of teaching us and training us and developing us and forming us and conforming us into the image of God. We were all created in his image and we fell. So now there has to be some recreating. We must be born again to live in Christ. Some of us might need to rededicate our lives because we have fallen so short. No condemnation. If you're feeling a tugging, then that's not to condemn you. It's to convict you. Now, once you're convicted, then confess. Repent, which means change your mind, change how you think about it, and then be restored, be refreshed, be renewed. Self-control, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. Now, here goes some good fruit right here. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. A lot of us want faithfulness, but we fail to be faithful. Hebrews. They call it the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. There's a whole lot of this, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I want you to read it. And I'm going to just hit some high points. We're doing real good on time. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, how can you believe in a God you can't see? Because I have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope to someday be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. But it's the evidence of things not seen. Well, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. I'm not going to believe it because I can't prove it. I'm not. Well, I have evidence. Well, what's your evidence? My faith. See, that faith is so real that beyond a shadow of doubt, you believe. Now, let's see some of these faith, some of these heroes of faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. You remember the story of Cain and Abel? Now, that was faith that Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Faith. You got to have faith. If you don't have faith, you can't be faithful. Faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was faithful, and because of his faithfulness, he was translated. One minute he was here, the next he wasn't. He was with God. The Bible tells us he did not see death. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You got to believe, folks. You got to believe that God is who he said he is. You got to believe that not only is he the way maker, but he's the way, the truth, and the light. You must believe. You got to believe by faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Yes, folks, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You can't be righteous. You can't have godliness unless it's through faith, because you are a filthy, wicked man. And but for Christ living in you to clean you up through the washing of the word, you would be the same. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God promised her a child. She believed that God would do what he said he would do. Do you believe that God will do what he said he would do? You got faithful, stay true to the course, be steadfast in his word, living the life of purpose for which you were called to live. See, you can't do that. You can't be faithful unless you have faith. You can't have faith unless you have Christ. You can't have Christ unless you believe first that he is. I want you to believe today. I want you to receive the word today. I want change to be brought to your life so that you might be found faithful when Christ returns. Look around the world today, folks. It may not be a long time until Christ returns. It looks as if he's coming quickly. In fact, he said, "Behold, I come quickly. Now a day is as 1,000 days unto him." So quickly means you got to live with a sense of urgency. You got to live with a sense of purpose. You got to have faith to live that life. You got to have faith. You got to believe. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave the commandment concerning his bones. Take my bones back. Don't leave my bones here. Take my bones into the promised land. I might not make it with you, but take my bones with you. Because I know there was a promise, and I believe I am faithful. I ran my race. Don't leave my bones out here. Take my bones over into the promise. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They weren't afraid because they had faith and they was faithful. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to call the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, he could have had the easy life, but he said, no, I am a child of Israel. I'm not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You have to read that to get some background. He chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. When you get up against the wall and it seems like you can't go no further, and the Lord says to you in the inside of your heart, go. You got to step out on faith so that you can enter into the promised land. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. This is a prostitute, not a godly woman. She didn't live a godly life, but she had faith that God would do something for her if she did right by his people. You got to believe, folks. This is not by works. This is by faith. You can't work your way in. You got to believe your way in. But if you believe, you will work. You'll work because you believe. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Listen, folks, the way we live our life is a testimony to the God that we serve. When we live a life of faithfulness and we show the fruit of the Spirit, people will ask us for our testimony. We won't have to beat them over the head with a testimony. Because when we live with the Spirit of God and His fullness in us, we will live with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The God we serve is a good God, and He wants us, His children, to reflect Him. You remember, we are Christians. We call ourselves Christians. The word Christian means little Christ. Not that we're all little gods, but that means we've been made in His image. We reflect His goodness. We reflect His righteousness. The way we live is a testimony. Maybe today you might need to do a little reflection. Maybe today there might have been light shined on some places in your heart, in your life, that you'd rather no one see. Maybe today, in hearing this word, Christ has come to you and has told you we need to do better in this area. You do pretty good over here. We need to do better in this area. I'm going to pray here in a minute, and I want you to pray with me. And I want you to do the thing that God is calling you to do. I want you to live on purpose and to enjoy the purpose-driven life that God has called you to. If it doesn't fit into the godly life, let it be removed. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, I thank you for this word that you have shared with us today. And I thank you for all who you have caused to listen. Now, Lord, give us ears to hear what you are saying to our hearts, and let us be better examples of what someone looks like who has spent time with you, who has you resident in our hearts and in our lives. Let people see you living in us. Let us be an example of what a Christian is supposed to be like. Let us show love, peace, and joy, and all the other characteristics that should come to us. Thank you, Lord. And we appreciate the opportunity to be able to confess our sins to you, to repent, and to be restored by you. Thank you. Well, folks, God is good. He's good all by himself, and he's good all the time. And if you ask him to come in and sup with you, he will. If you don't know him like you feel you want to know him, if you don't know him as your Savior, as your Lord, invite him in, and he will come right today. If you need to make some changes, ask him to make some changes in your life. He will do it for you because he loves you. Come back next week when we will continue on with part two of our The Bible Says about the characteristics of a Christian. Christian character traits, part two. And we're going to continue to dive in and continue to find out what the Bible says we need to look like, act like, sound like as we grow in faith and in our Christian life. God bless you. Tell a friend. Join the group, Doc's Bible Study, on Facebook, and get in on the conversation. Let's grow together. God bless you, and have a wonderful week.